Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey guys, it's Joe McGee here again. We're talking about heroes of the faith, characters in the Bible. You know, volume two of the Bible's not coming out. We're still going to hang with volume one. So I believe it's there by divine appointment. All the authors, you know, the thousands of years it took to put it together. God knew what he was doing. And so all the stories that we need to know, now there's a lot more. The Bible says not enough books in the world to contain all the things that even Jesus taught when he was here during those 3.5 years. So there's a lot of stuff, but God made sure we had exactly what we needed to know to live a very successful life on an alien planet. And so what happened, I love to go through and teach characters. I taught chapel for years at a Christian school. And so every day I try to keep it down to about a 30-minute class, and I try to never end on something, keep them hanging, pick it up the next day. So these are just stories that I collected from a great Bible storybook called Egermeyer's Children's Bible Storybook, produced by Warner Press. You can still find it in bookstores around the country. And people say, where'd you learn the Bible? I said, well, I went to a great, great Bible school. I went to Oral Roberts University for 3 summers. But where I learned the Bible was Ruth Egermeyer's Children's Bible Storybook. Incredible. Hardback book. She had about a page and a half of modern English of every major story in the Bible. And so when I taught chapel 175 days a year, you know, for 10 years, I got this stuff out of that book. And it was really good, real modern English. And I tried to get them to never finish the story, kind of leave them hanging. So today, one of the great ones is the story of Moses. And everybody thinks they know Moses because they've seen the Ten Commandments at least once. You know, even the old version with Charlton Heston and the new version, which is really wild, you know. But actually, Moses is an interesting study just in character. Because, you know, you think everybody's great. There are no great people. There are no perfect people. God uses normal, everyday people. He doesn't use smart people or talented people. He just uses people. He's just looking for somebody to show himself strong in. God's not looking for strong people. He's looking for somebody he can be strong in and through. So let's take back to the beginning of Moses. You know, we used to call this a man in hiding. We come out of the Bible storybook. It says Moses, a man in hiding, you know, because everything was great. You know, the story about how mom and dad hid him in the basket, floated him down the river, and, you know, and Pharaoh's daughter couldn't have kids, but nobody knew it. She found the baby, claimed the baby as her own, raised the child up as her own child. And so you've seen the movies, the Ten Commandments, you know, the two brothers are competing. And then they find out, Moses finds out he's not born of Egyptian blood. He is a Hebrew child. And that, of course, makes a whole movie out of it. But what we don't realize is that's not the end of the story. That's sort of the beginning. So Moses is an adult. He realizes that he's Hebrew. You know, he comes from a different faith. And all of a sudden, he finds one of the Egyptian guys beating on one of the slaves. And he attacks the Egyptian guy and kills him. And so he thinks, yeah, I did something. I'm the deliverer. I believe in everything they've told me. I'm delivered. But when he kills somebody, he realizes, man, they're going after him. So Moses has to run into the country for his life. And so he's running away. He thought, what happened? I thought these people said they'd heard from God, and, you know, I've heard from God, and I've got the cloth that, you know, my mother had. And so he goes from a prince in Pharaoh's palace to a fugitive on the backside of the desert. And said that, it's like, what happens then? Well, that's not it. So much for the, you know, repercussions. If you compare Stephen's account in Acts chapter 7, talking about Moses. Acts chapter 7:22, it says, Moses was taught all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and Moses was powerful in both speech and action. This is not your everyday guy, man. He's been trained up. Most powerful nation on the face of the planet, most powerful school. There wasn't anything that he hadn't learned that he didn't know. But when you get down to Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, it says, Moses pleaded with the Lord when he realized he's supposed to go back and deliver the children of Israel. He's been in the desert for 40 years. He's a shepherd. He's out there. And so here you get 40 years later, and said, Moses pleaded with the Lord and said, I am not very good with words. I never have been. I'm not now. And even though you spoke to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. Now, that's New Living Translation. You ought to read it again. It's really good. So what happened in 40 years? This guy pretty much gets his guts ripped out. He loses his manhood. He loses his confidence. He loses his boldness. He doesn't know anything. He just knows, man, I'm out here on the backside of the desert. And then God, you know, meets the God in the burning bush. God says, you're going to be by delivered. You're going to go back and use that staff. And, you know, this whole thing about that. And so Moses goes back and he has to take a talker with him. He said, I can't talk. I'm going to send a guy with you. You're going to go cussing. He's going to go with you. He'll do the talking. So he realized, you know, the devastating effect of Moses' failure. You know, before that day, he was very self-assured, a gifted speaker. Ever since then, man, full of self-doubt. And then he's thinking to himself, saying, man, am I really called of God? Maybe they just made this up. I told the Israelis I'm the deliverer. They didn't believe me. Nobody believes me. The more I talk about it, the dumber I feel. And so many got rejected by the people. He just think, man, I must have just thought this up. And so I'm here on the backside of the desert. So no wonder Moses stuttered. So Moses stuttered real bad. So he's out there on the backside, and all of a sudden God appears to him, and he's got to go back. So he's got to go back into the thing. So here he is, an 80-year-old man, dark, weather-beaten sheep herder, standing barefoot by a burning bush in the desert, and said, but God did not chasten Moses. Instead, he renewed his call. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. You know, Moses said to God, who am I that I should go? I don't even know how to talk. Don't you remember me? I'm a wanted man. I'm a murderer. People got a bill. They're looking at me to kill me. You know, 40 years I've tried and failed. They didn't believe me then. Why are they going to believe me now? You've got the wrong man, God. I'm not him. And so you have to kind of look at it. So God said, no, you're the guy. And so they made a great movie out of it. And it's really, really good. It's not totally accurate, but it's really good to watch the movie about Moses. And he goes back and, you know, Pharaoh that challenges him, you know, and all the plagues and the frogs and the lice. It's like, what's going on? Well, God said he's going to deliver. He's going to do it. Well, God said, you be real still. Be still and know that I'm God. I mean, so many stories in the Bible. You don't ever want to get ahead of God. If you want to be anywhere, you want to be behind God. So God begins to talk to him. And so the miracles begin to happen. So even the people of Israel, well, maybe Moses is our deliverer. Maybe we missed it 40 years ago. Maybe he is the guy. Maybe he just tried to do it in the wrong way. And so you got the conversation between Moses and God and the people of God and said, so here's what happens. You go back, you know, Romans 11:29 says God's call and his gifts are irrevocable. Once he calls it, you're called. I don't care if you mess up, you know, because you got to think about Moses. What happened? I am the top of my game. I'm the second most powerful man on this planet. I control thousands of acres and millions of people, and all of a sudden, I'm nobody. I've been a nobody for 40 years. I've done no public speaking. I'm not taking any classes. I'm not going to school anywhere. I've not been to Toastmasters. I'm hiding on the backside of a desert. And every day that goes by, he's thinking, man, how did I mess my life up so bad? What did I do so wrong? I finally realized there is a God. I am a Hebrew. I am a child of God. I got a call on my life. I'm supposed to be this deliverer. But everything that in the natural looked like, man, I have gone 180 degrees the wrong direction. Nobody believes who I am, what I'm called to do, what I'm doing. I'm a nobody. So, I like this. This is what Moses had to do. Number one, Moses had to overcome his past failure. We've all been through that. I tell people all the time, the Bible says the righteous fall 7 times a day and they get back up. We are not the perfect people. We're the getting back up people. Now, I'm a parent. I got 8 kids. I used to have 8 kids. There's not a perfect one in the bunch. All of our kids have gone to school, gone to college, got out, got jobs. And I've told them a whole lot. Every day of your life, you're going to get to repent and forgive every day. If you're not repenting and forgiving on a regular basis, you're getting what we call spiritually constipated. Nothing can move through you because you're full of stuff. Every day you're going to make some mistakes. Well, I thought I'd never make another mistake. No, you still got flesh. Flesh is going to go stupid on you. It's that ongoing battle, that spirit, soul, and body. You got a 3-member board meeting every time you make a decision. You got to make the right decision. You have to learn to listen to God. And one of the things you learned about Elijah, you know, he had learned that God speaks in a still small voice. He didn't speak in earthquake or the fire or the wind. God speaks in a still small voice. The Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. So just ask the kids, what's God said to you lately? And they'd look at me and say, what? I said, what's God said to you lately? Nothing. Well, he's talking all the time. Are you listening? And they just stare at me. What? God's talking all the time. Are you listening? Because he's been talking to you. What's he been saying to you? So anyhow, Moses has to overcome the past. He's got to confront Pharaoh and he's got to negotiate the release of 2 million people. He's not going to go back in as a wanted man. There's a price on his head. He's going back in where he had been on an equal plane with Pharaoh. I mean, they're on the same deal, same level, and all of a sudden, 40 years later, this you know, weather-beaten, wrinkled 80-year-old man shows up. Hey, I know you haven't seen me in a while, but I'm here to make a demand. I want you to let my people go. And Pharaoh just went nuts. He said, you got to be kidding. He said, no, I need you to let my people go. And that's where you got the great movie, but it's all biblical. And so not only did he get them released, they come out. It's just a two-week walk to the promised land. Well, it took 40 years because they got over there and they went into the promised land. They came back. The Bible says 2 came back with a good report. 10 came back with an evil report. And they said, well, is the land like God said? Oh, yeah, man, it's just like God said. Houses in there, big houses that we didn't build. Vineyards that we didn't plant. I mean, it is a land of milk and honey, just like God said. But, 10 of them said, but there are giants in the land. And so 10 of the 12 spies thought, no, we went and saw it. And it's like God said, but God didn't mention about the giants. They're 10 foot, 2 inches tall, and they have 6 fingers, 6 toes, and half breeds between fallen angels and humans. God never mentioned that. And so they go back in and realize, man, we got a mess in our hands. And so they begin to cry. Oh, if we'd only died in Egypt. And you know, and the two positive guys, you know, that came back, no, we can do this. We are more than able. It wasn't their strength. It wasn't their numbers. They realized, no, the same God that delivered us out of captivity of 400 years in Egypt is the same God that parted the Red Sea. He's the same God that's rained manna out of heaven. He's the same God that's given us a cloud in the daytime so we didn't burn out here in this desert, and the fire at night so we wouldn't freeze to death. It's the same God. They'd caught hold of it. But 10 didn't catch hold of it. And he said, now, what's happened? They're going to have to spend 40 years in the wilderness. So they all died off. And God said, I'll take your children in. I'm not taking you in. So while they're going through all the system that 40 years, Moses was very busy. This stuttering, couldn't talk publicly guy, he did several things. Number one, he gave him a system of government. We call it a theocracy. And so he said, there's one God, you know, go up to the mountain. You get the 10 commandments, come down. There's one God, and I'll talk to him. Here's how we live. These are the commandments of God. These are 10 of 613 laws, but this is the start. I'm going to set up a theocracy. We are a people of God. We worship God. We follow God, and we listen to God. God is our redeemer, our deliverer, supplies all of our needs, surrounds us with comfort. He's our rear guard, our high tower. Nothing we will ever need God has not already supplied. So he gave him a good system of government. He organized a religion. This is what we're going to do. We're going to have a tent. We're going to have an altar. And this is how we worship. And he designed a building place of worship. This is when we worship. This is what we do. Here's what God likes. Here's what God wants. For 40 years, Moses became their spiritual father, their priest, their prophet, their general, their prime minister. If you need something, go ask Moses. Who's Moses? The guy that stutters real bad. The guy that really can't talk real clean. But that was his job. So God is a redeemer, a guy that was at the top of his game for 40 years of his life, but then he murders somebody, and for 40 years he goes into nowhere land. And I've had people say it all the time. You know, I tell people, God is a redeemer. God loves to show off. I don't care what you've lost. I don't care how many businesses you've lost, how many dumb decisions you've made. God is a redeemer. The Bible says we have to run boldly to the throne of grace to get mercy, help in time of need. I don't care what you've done. God will forgive. God redeems. God said he'd take my sin as far as the east is from the west, put it in the depths of the sea. There'll be no record of my sin in heaven, and God will make the devil pay back 7 times whatever he stole from me. I can't mess up. As long as I hang on to God and run to God, I tell people, you know, you got to realize that scripture. Run boldly to the throne of grace to get mercy and help. What's mercy? You only need mercy when you have premeditated sinned on purpose. They should tell the kids all the time, you know, when do you need mercy? When you've sinned on purpose. Be like going into the throne room of God and, you know, the angels are around singing to him. And you run into heaven all out of breath. And God says, hey, son, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing pretty good, God. So what are you doing here? Well, I thought I just came hang out. Are you in trouble? Might be. Did you do something wrong? Could be. Have you sinned? I think so. How's it working out for you? Not too good. The Bible understands, said, listen, when I sin, I'm to run boldly to God to get mercy. What's mercy? That's what blind Bartimaeus asked for when Jesus was coming down the road. This man's been blind from birth, and he heard that healing Messiah is coming, so he starts screaming. He's screaming at Jesus, and it's a crowd that followed him around. It's like a big parade coming down the street, and he starts screaming, mercy, mercy, son of David. And Jesus stopped. Even the apostles said, no, don't bother him. Just crazy old blind man. And Jesus stopped. He went over to him, and he says, hey, blind man, what can I do for you? Now, Jesus knew what he needed. He's a blind man, been blind from birth. He knows what he needs. He needs some eyeballs. But Jesus asked him, God always asks us. He said 8 times in the New Testament, says, you have not because you ask not. Ask that your joy might be made full. So Jesus asked the blind man, what can I do for you? Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus gave him 2 new pair of eyeballs. He went looking. And so people got all excited and things broke out. Well, the religious leaders found out, and they drug him down into court that day. And they're asking him to his face because the religious people did not like Jesus. So they're yelling at blind Bartimaeus, who now can see for the first time in his life. And they ask him, do you believe this guy's the Son of God? And they're trying to make him say yes. And he gave a great answer. He said, I don't know. All I know is once I was blind, and now I can see. That's all I know. I got my eyeballs back. He didn't turn into a evangelist. He didn't start pastoring a church. He got his eyeballs back. God was a problem solver. God's a healer. He's a redeemer. Listen, all he needs from us is the truth. Run boldly to the throne of grace, get mercy and help in time of need. So Moses knew how to do that. So he goes back, and even though he has to have somebody speak for him most of the time, his brother-in-law, he delivers. He did what God said. So for 40 years, he had everything. He penned the first 5 books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He got that by revelation. He got the Ten Commandments. The majority of what we learned, if you spend the time frame that it took to put Genesis together, Genesis covers about 2,500 years. The New Testament covers about 7 years. Genesis covers 2,500 years. And so Moses, he's hearing from God. How did this start? Well, in the beginning, God. How do you know that? Angel told him. And he wrote it down. Were you there? No, I wasn't there. I hadn't been born yet. Well, you know what happened? An angel told me. He knew. God gave it to him by revelation. It's not information. It's revelation. So there is no failure that God cannot redeem. It doesn't. It doesn't exist. God redeems all people. All we got to do is go boldly to the throne of grace again to get mercy and help in time of need. God, he'll forgive all sins. He'll redeem everything. And I tell people, he'll make the devil pay back. He'll make the devil pay back. You think, well, I've lost it. I made a dumb decision. I wasn't thinking. That's okay. Run boldly to the throne of grace and give it to God. The Bible says, roll your cares over to him, for he cares for you. I tell people, don't ever hang on to that. Well, I made a dumb decision. I said something I shouldn't have said. I made a mistake. I sinned a sin. Well, then run boldly to the throne of grace to get mercy and help. And so that's what happened to Moses. Moses has his guts ripped out and gets demoted, running for his life at the backside of a desert. He goes from the second most powerful man on this planet to an absolute nobody, yet God redeems. God brought him back, one of the most famous people in the Bible. I look forward to getting to heaven, sit down next to him at the marriage supper and ask a few questions because I think he's going to be an amazing guy to meet. So guys, take courage. God works with normal people. He doesn't work with perfect people. There are no perfect people. God works with people that know how to repent, how to forgive, and how to get back up. It's been great, guys. God bless. Talk to you later. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.